to the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. It's called Rajavidya Rajaguhya, titled as Rajavidya Rajaguhya. Before we proceed to that, I would like myself to know how much you have understood the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. So what are the important points you learnt in the 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita? Anybody is free to answer. Those who have attended, those who have not attended, they are free from the exams.
I was going to say that the stuff towards the end, the two paths, the light path and the dark path, it's all baffling and impenetrable.
In the beginning, Bhagavan Sri Krishna explained the Adi Bhuta, Adi Deva, Adi Yajna,
yes,
and how Adi Atma.
How many questions?
Five.
Seven. Seven questions and seven answers. Let us go briefly through them. It's very important to understand. There is no harm even if we understand them in a better way. So Arjuna asks these seven questions. What are they? First, what is Brahma? What is Adhyatma? What is Karma? What is Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam, Adhiyajnam? And how does one remember the highest truth at the end of the life? How can one attain God at the end? It's a very significant question. How can we attain in the end the highest good? It need not be understood only in the highest spiritual sense. It can be also understood in the immediate desires that we have. Suppose I ask you, what is the your immediate goal? We always talk about the goal which we have to attain at the very end. But what is our immediate goal? What is the immediate goal? Happiness. We all want happiness, isn't it? So, how to attain happiness? So, the highest goal, highest reality, Brahman, is attained when we can remember him at the very end of this life. That is the important idea discussed here. It's whichever lost thought a person gives up his body, then he will attain to that state. If a man is thinking of another human being, he will attain. What would he become in the next birth?
Human being.
If he is thinking of a deer, what would he become? A deer. If he is thinking of a ghost, what would he become?
Ghost.
If he is thinking of God, he would become a God. But if he is thinking of Brahman, then he would become Brahman. So, the thing is, every second is a last second before the new second starts. So, if we do not have happy thoughts, we say we want happiness. So, if we want happiness in the next birth, as I said, not necessarily after the fall of this body, every second, what next second is a new birth? Is old age. When does old age start?
When young age starts.
Now starts. You shouldn't ask the wrong people. Old age, now there is nothing called old age. When does old age start?
When you think old.
Even when we don't think also, old age doesn't stop. When we sleep, old age doesn't stop for that time. Otherwise, we would have been only, even a 100 years old man would only be 50 years old man, because 50% of the time he is sleeping. See, when a baby is born, what is the question we ask? How old is the baby? What is it we ask?
Yeah.
How old is the baby? In a 90 years old man also we are asking, how old are you? And everybody, see, this is the most wonderful psychology you will get. See, just a person has gone to the cosmetic surgery, got nicely done all over, and he comes out. What would be the question somebody puts to that person? How old are you? Is it not? So, in a way, psychological way, every second is death. Every second is a birth. If my thoughts at this moment are not happy, what would be my psychological condition next moment? If I am happy, I am happy. So, no? Do you understand what I am talking about? If we are not happy at this moment, can you expect all of a sudden from the sky, happy thoughts will transform me in the next second? No. So, this is how we go on. And then suddenly, imagine, we are very happy now. And it continues, say, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 1 hour, whatever. At some point, some change takes place. Unhappy thoughts permeate, color our mind. That moment, the birth of unhappy person has taken place. So, this is the right way, I think, to understand. Otherwise, you know, people think that I will do whatever I like, and just before my physical death, I will suddenly think of God. Is it possible? Is it now or never possible? Whatever is the general thought that fills our mind during the whole of our life, it is only that thought that comes. So that is one of the subjects discussed. But let us briefly remind ourselves these 7 questions. The first question is, what is Brahma? What is the answer? Aksharam Brahma. It's a very significant word. Kshara means that which decays, is destroyed, changes. What is Brahma? That which never decays. Now we use also another word, Atma. It's important to understand. Last year also I think we had discussed at that point. So how do we understand this term Atma and Anatma? Because we use these two terms, Atma, self and non-self. So how do we understand the word Atma? Is there any simpler way of trying to understand that concept?
That which doesn't change.
These are all bookish answers. We have to try to understand. There are 2 cases we use, nominative case and possessive case. See, in language, nominative case, what is nominative case? Name. Book, man, and harmonium, animal, dog, including God, is it not? What is possessive case? Say, of Ramasya Griham, Rama's house, my book. There is a vast difference between these two. If we understand the meaning of these 2 concepts, then it's very easy to understand the meaning of Atma and Anatma. So, we use these 2 words. When we use the word I and when we use the word my, sometimes we use correctly, sometimes we use, we get mixed up. So you see, I am so and so, according to Vedanta. I am is fine, but so and so is not fine. Let us slowly come to that concept. I have a book. Someone asks me, whose book is that? What would be my answer? My book. Do I ever make commit the mistake of saying, I am the book? You see, but that is the mistake. It's very good that we never mistake, you know. This, whose book is I have a book. So whose book is this? My book. I have a house. Whose house is that?
My house. The bank's but, house.
Huh?
It's the bank's house.
Yeah. I will never say, I am the book. I am the house. Very dangerous. Suppose I have a donkey. Very, very clear. But the idea is, it becomes confused when we come to our body. Intermittent, we change the case. I for my and my for I. How are you? I'm not all right. What happens? My back is aching. You know, the back is aching. My back, we use it. My book is aching. My book is not all right. I don't feel the pain. But my back is aching, I feel the pain. Because I is identified with the back. Mind also. How are you? No, I am not all right. Or I am frightened. Or I am happy. Why are you happy? Well, my mind is very happy. My mind is worried, so I am worried. My mind is happy. So I am happy. What have you got with my mind? You are using the case, my. So if my book is separate from me, my body also must be separate from me. Is it not? There are no exceptions. My mind also cannot be me. Apply this to understanding these two words, Atma and Anatma. What is Anatma? Of whichever we can use the word my, that is clearly not me, non-self. Of which I can only say me, that alone is Atma, right? This is one understanding. To make this point clearer, use this imaginary example. There is a two funny words we use in Hindi. Aya Ram, Gaya Ram. So that which comes also goes. Anything that comes goes. Anything that is born is dead. See? Because these are changes. Anything that is changing is not ours. So imagine, what is it that always remains with us? What is it that always remains with us?
Me.
Only me. My body will not remain with me because it is always changing. Is it not a fact? From the very birth, the body is changing. Baby's body, young man's body, middle-aged man's body, and old age, old man's body. Mind also is constantly changing. What do you want? In childhood, we say we want to become like this. When we grow up, we say we want to be something else. Is it not? Now you see, what is the idea of Brahma or Atma? That which always remains with me is Atma. What is it that remains with me always? Me. Nothing else. Body doesn't remain, mind doesn't remain. If body, mind do not remain, what else remains? The whole universe is negated. The concept clear? So, that I alone remains, that which remains with us, that which remains unchanged, that which doesn't belong to me, is not part of me, is not produced by me, is not controlled by me, that is I. Whatever is produced, whatever is part, whatever changes, that is anatma, non-self. Is that idea clear? Aksharam. Now you understand. Aksharam means what? Always it is with me. One idea of understanding this, one way of understanding this is, as I told you, usage of the case. Possessive case and nominative case. Another way of understanding is that which changes. So when something changes, even if it is with me, can I say it is me? Because that I is always changing. You know, I was a... Who are you? I am a baby. Is that not your answer when you were a baby? When you were a young person, what do you say, I am? A young person. When you are old, what will you say? I am old. Your answer is changing. So that cannot be you, because you are associating that I with something that is changing. So that which is unchanging, and whatever is unchanging, is indestructible, deathless. Why is it deathless? Because it is birthless. Whatever is birthless and deathless is beyond time, space and causation. Satyam, Jnanam, Anantam, Brahma. That is the definition given there. Sat means eternal existence. Swamiji uses the word absolute existence, absolute knowledge. Knowledge means not awareness, but pure consciousness. What is the difference between pure consciousness and awareness, or what we call in the usual word? We have to understand two words very clearly. Knowledge is used in two words. Vedantic knowledge is separate, and the English word knowledge is separate. Jnana, we use the word jnana. So jnana means just to be completely all the time aware who I am, or what the reality is. The rest is information, that which changes. Changeful knowledge is called information. Unchanging information is called real jnana. What is it that is that remains unchanging?
Atma.
High consciousness, atma. Because it is unchanging, you cannot describe it. Because description always means that not only change, description always means that you are distinguishing it from something else. Otherwise, how do you describe that person? If only one person is there, that is you, who is asking you to describe yourself? To whom are you describing? There is no need. Yeah, that is why early in the morning we don't dress. When we come to know somebody is coming, then nicely we comb our hair and all those things. Early morning, if nobody is coming, especially if it is holidays, you can see what condition. If we are completely 100% certain that no visitor is going to visit to see me, why would I like to dress at all? That is why home, sweet home. What is the idea? You know, one of our devotees, whenever his wife goes on a holiday, he's very happy. Because, you know, he can come from the office, sock this side. Nobody to question him what he is doing. That's called home. Home means what? Nobody is there to question you what you do. You do what you like. Is it not Aparna? That is home. The other thing is house. When you are questioned, that is house. That is a how come. All right. Brahma. Aksharam Brahma. Svabhavo Adhyatmam. What is Svabhava? One's nature, when this Brahman is caught in this complex, associated, the moment we say I am, that is Brahma. The moment we add to that is in Telugu what we call, you know, Kara. Aham is Brahman. We add some Kara to Brahma, that is called Ahankara. That's why it burns. Kara means chili. Ahankara always is it associated with something. The moment it is associated, the aham also becomes changeable, not really, seemingly, apparently. And the kara also seemed to be permanent. Somehow this curious mixture, mithya satyanrute mithuni kritya, Shankara's Brahma Sutra Bhashya, he says, satya means I am, anruta means whatever I am not, my, of whatever we can say, my. These two inextricably mixed up, that is called mithya. But we have to be very careful. Mithya is not illusion. Mithya means what we call something is already existing, but we misunderstand. Misunderstanding is what it's called. What is, you know, what is misunderstanding? A man went and, you know, told to a miss, I love you. She didn't like it. He said, misunderstanding. You miss the understanding. So, what is this svabhava adhyatmam? Jiva bhava. In Sanskrit, we call it jiva. What is karma? We use the word karma. Usually we understand. Karma is a very often used word. Karma means what? Action. Every action can only bring about four effects. So whatever brings about four effects, that is called karma. What are those four effects? The first is called utpatti. Something is not there, it is brought into manifestation. For example, clay is there, but pot is not there. Somebody sits there and manipulates the clay, and what comes out? Pot. So that is called creation. The whole universe, you know, God creates this universe. It wasn't there before. Creation in the sense of manifestation. Nama rupa. Second, aapti or prapti. You don't have something, but you get, you know, you want food or vegetables. You don't have it. So what do? You go to the shop, buy them and bring. It is already there, but you don't have it. So you bring it. Or you go to some place. You go to Iowa City or airport, wherever. This act is called, it is the result of karma, second result. Third result is something is broken, so you fix it. This is called samskara. Samskara means a part is broken. A part is broken, so you fix it. Then another is, something is not broken, but not clean. A pot is not clean, so you scrub it. So, these are the four. Producing, attainment or going somewhere, and fixing something which is defective, and purifying something which is not pure. Any action in this world, from birth to death, only it can do these four actions. Tell me if you can do, if karma can do anything else. Now, here in this context, it is said, two ideas have been given. That which helps in the continuation of Srishti, Sthiti and Laya, creation, maintenance and destruction is called karma. Second, in order to facilitate this help in maintaining this creation, etc., one worships gods, etc., the offerings you make. For example, you worship Ramakrishna. Why do you worship Ramakrishna? Because you want protection. Whenever you start any journey, what do you say? Durga, Durga. Why do you say that? Because you want to be protected. That means you want to continue the maintenance. Otherwise, there are two other acts. Srishti means creation. The other is Vinasha, destruction. So, you see, for birth also we do that. We pray to God. A child is not, a couple do not have children, so they pray to God. Then for maintaining in a very nice way, happy way, also we pray to God. Sometimes wicked people also do for the destruction of other people. But we also do for the destruction of whatever is an obstacle, we pray to God Ganesha. So whatever we do, what is karma? Definite, beautiful definition of karma. What is karma? That which helps in the Srishti, Sthiti and Vinasha is called karma. What is this whole universe? So that is why very important to understand Shankara. Shankara is not against karma. He says, if you want to attain to ultimate reality, you want to be liberated, moksha, mukti, charama purushartha or chaturtha purushartha, fourth purushartha, what is it? Dharma, artha, kama, what is the fourth? Moksha. If you want moksha, you can't be inside this Srishti, Sthiti and Vinasha and also enjoy moksha. No, that's not possible. Either you be try to be happy here is not possible to be happy. Because happiness is inextricably not only mixed up with suffering, without suffering you cannot enjoy in this world. See how foolish we are. We want to unmixed happiness. When do we get unmixed happiness? Only in two states we get unmixed happiness. First, when we are in Sushupti state, and second, when we are in Samadhi state, because there is no duality there. But at all other times, if you are not hungry, you can't be enjoying your food, however nice it is. What a wonderful thing it is. So Shankara is not against karma. He says, what does karma do? Create Srishti, Sthiti, Vinasha. You are claiming you want moksha. Moksha means freedom. So you want to be bound and you want to get. This is Bengali language, you know. A wonderful language. They understand the essence of Vedas and the samsara very much. That's why they pronounce it. Samsaro. Samsaro. See, instinctively they understand. This world is samsaro. So you want to be in samsaro and be happy. Is it possible? You are contradicting, you know, yourself. I want to be unhappily happy. See, our confusion, this is called Maya. Somehow we want to be here and we also want to be free. That's not possible. So you have to give up karma. Only then you will remain in that state. Otherwise, what does you do? The karma brings our mind down. Any karma brings a change. Either it produces, or it wants to go and get something, or it wants to make something, repair something, or it wants to purify or clean something. So that very fact shows, if you don't have something, you produce something. That means what? If you don't have something, what? You are not happy. Simple fact. So you go somewhere. If you are happy here, why do you want to go somewhere? If everything is pure, why do you want to scrub it? If something is not defective, why do you want to repair it? That karma means it is defective. That is why you want to be in samsara and want to be free. This is contradictory, not possible. So he says, give up karma. But what does he mean by giving up karma? Because you cannot get freedom unless you give up karma. So do that kind of karma which will act as poison to karma. So from karma to naishkarmya, from activity to the state of inactivity. How is it possible? The Lord himself says in the fourth chapter, karman akarmaya pashyet akarmani cha karmaya sa buddhiman manushyeshu sa yuktaha krishna karma krit. He, among all human beings, is the most wise person, wisest. And he adds so beautiful, every word is meaningful. Krishna karma krit. As though he had performed all actions. You see, if you do this action, you get this result. You do second action, you get second result. If you want infinite happiness, how many actions should you do? Infinite actions. Or no action at all. For infinity, you don't need to do any action. So that action which leads to this state of no action at all, and that is possible only when you don't have any desires, because it is the desires which create activity. No desire. So that is what Shankara is talking about. Now is that concept of karma clear? So 3 points we discussed. What are those three? What is Brahma? That which is can only be talked about in a nominative case, not in a possessive case. That which of anything we can say my or mine, it becomes a mine. The moment you use the word mine, it becomes a minefield. That what happens when you step into a minefield? It explodes. That is what happens. Of whatever we say, my, it gets away from you. Destruction means what? It goes away from you. You are deprived of it. Then you feel bad about it. Yeah. So, karma. Adhibhutam. What is adhibhutam? What? Whichever changes, whichever perishes, that is adhibhut. What is it that doesn't perish? Only Brahman. Everything excepting Brahman, anything which we say my perishes. It may be a matter of time.
So adhibhutam. Bhuta is the five elements that perishes, right?
Yes.
So adhibhutam is beyond the Bhuta.
No. Whatever is perishable is defined as adibhuta. Whatever is perishable. What is that which is perishable? My. If you separate I from mine, whatever is mine is perishable. In fact, if you psychologically say there is no other, it is only concept in our minds. I don't know what you are. like this, through this camera lens, what I get, that is the only information I have, nothing else. But unable to understand, because constantly we are seeing. I think it was Plato who described human world, some people sitting in a cave, their faces turned towards the back of the cave, not to the, their back is towards the entrance, face is towards the wall of the cave, and some fire is burning at the entrance. So what does it do? It throws shadows of themselves on the walls. 24 hours from birth to death, if you are only beholding those shadows, what is your concept of yourself and others?
Sure.
We live in a shadowy world. This whole thing is a mask. Imagine a person is put forcibly mask, iron mask. You know that film? The Masked Man or something like that. The famous film. His one brother imprisoned his brother. And the whole thing, excepting eyes and a bit of nose and mouth, he doesn't know what he is. The iron is forged, soldered, and he was tied. He was given just a bit of food. Like that, this is the mask that is called persona, personality. What is your personality? Persona means what? We have been covered with this mask of, first of all, body. I am man, I am a woman, I am an Indian, I am an American, I am a Hindu, I am a Christian, and I am this, I am that. These are the masks. What are you? That is why the Upanishad also gives the idea of pancha kosha. Man is covered or three bodies. No? The gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body are pancha koshas. Annamaya kosha, pranamaya kosha, manomaya kosha, vijnanamaya kosha. What is this kosha? Sheath. We are covered. We are identified. Who am I? I am this CV, this body. And then pranamaya kosha. Then manomaya kosha. Then vijnanamaya kosha. Then anandamaya kosha. Only when we get out of all these sheets, the real man will come out. When the real man comes out, there is only one man. Because how do you distinguish one? It is the koshas which distinguish this person's body from that person's body, this person's prana from that person. That is why all the nuns are called pranas. How many pranas you have? Men are better. We are all anandas. Elevated ourselves to the pancha kosha, fifth kosha. We degraded all the nuns only to the second kosha. Right. So, adhibhuta means what? Anything which changes. Changefulness is perishability. Because time means change. Adhibhutam. Then adhidaivam. Adhidaivam is he who dwells within each one. Each one is an important concept. I will come after finishing this. Here, indweller as universal self, not merely one who lives here. Svabhava, we said earlier. Svabhava means jiva. Who is this adhidaiva? That light which enters into each house. You know, sunlight is there. Sunlight is entering through the window, this house, the next house, the next house, the next house. The light in this house is jiva. But the light which is lighting up all the houses, that is called adhidaiva. That is the concept. Then adhiyajnaha. Adhiyajna means we are all performing actions. Every action is a yajna. And who is it that receives all these yajna, sacrifices? Aham vaishvanaro bhutva prani naham deham ashritaha pranapanna samayuktaha Pachamyannam Chaturvidham, Bhagavad Gita says. See, I have digestive power. You have Jataragni. You have Jataragni. All these Jataragnis, I have only one purpose. What is that purpose? To digest food. And so that universal light which is receiving everybody's homage. Yajna means the act of offering homage. You bow down, namaskaram you say, pranam you say. That is not the only homage. When you are breathing, you are doing homage. When you are seeing, you are doing homage. When you are listening, you are doing homage. When you are tasting, you are doing homage. When you are touching, you are doing homage. Who do you know? Fourth chapter. How many yajnas are there? The final of that yajna is Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. Whatever we do, who is doing? Brahman. Through what it is being done? Through Brahman. What is being offered? Brahman. And into whom is it being offered? Brahman. That highest vision, that it is only God who is playing with himself, that concept is called the highest yajna. But to reach that state, we have to control. We do yajna. Suppose you are seeing. You are asked, what are you doing? I am seeing. So, but for whose sake are you seeing? There is somebody who is inside, who is telling you, you look at it, you listen to it, you smell it, you touch it, you think it is me. But actually, who is it that is impelling you? You understand the concept? It's a bit difficult, but that's why we have to repeat it 100 times, 1,000 times. So, take simple example. You are able to see. What is that power by which you are capable of seeing something? Who is it that sees? Does the body see? Does the mind see? What is it that sees then? Conscious. Don't use those words because they get confused. You get confused. What is the nature of the Atman? Awareness. See, to see, you must be aware. To hear, you must be aware. To smell, you must be aware. To desire, you must be aware. You see, some awareness, desire comes. Can there be desire without awareness? That awareness which produces the desire, and again, for whose sake is it producing? When you say, I eat this nice food, I am happy. Who is telling I am happy? Is the tongue telling? Is the stomach telling? Is the mind telling? What is it that, who is it that is telling I am happy? Your awareness. You are aware, I am happy. When the desire comes, you are aware, I want this. When you are fulfilling, you will say, I am seeing, I am. Is it not? Is it not clear? What are we referring to? Everything is done by the consciousness. What a beautiful concept. Yes. See, so many times, you know, you are sitting here, you are listening to me. In between, your consciousness takes leave. It goes India, Hawaii, and all that, you know. Or what to do after this class is over. How long is the Swami going to carry on? You know, and this is how many times we are absenting ourselves. If you can keep your consciousness unbroken for even 2-3 minutes, then you are perfect in meditation. 144 seconds. If you can keep up your mind unbrokenly, you are aware of something, you are perfect in meditation. How much time the mind is running? Anyway, for whose sake the whole thing is being done? For the sake of the Atman. How do we understand? Because Atman manifests in one form, in the form of awareness, consciousness, I. See how wonderful this topic is. So these are the six subjects. So how can one attain to you? Arjuna asks. Prayana kale, at the time of death. So as I said, death, there are four types of deaths are there. Are you aware? Four types of death. The first type is called nitya. First of all, death means pralaya. Pralaya. Laya. Prakrista lupena laya. So we understand laya. Laya yoga. There is a yoga called laya yoga. We are experts in it. Especially when I am talking, see, pralaya is taking place within you. You understand? You are attaining to the state of laya. That means what? You have merged me forever in Brahman. I am not visible at all. I am not audible. We are all doing it. Every day is called Nitya Pralaya. Nitya Pralaya means deep sleep is one meaning. When this body comes to an end, that is also called Nitya Pralaya. Each individual's death is a regular phenomena. So universally also, every day, how many creatures are dying? Is it not? Yeah. Then there is two meanings. One is every day's deep sleep. That is called Nitya Pralaya. Because the whole universe is merged. Body and mind. That is why it is called Karana. Goes back, the effect goes back into. And incidentally, what is birth? Cause manifesting as effect is called birth. What is death then, by the same logic? Effect going back into its cause is called death. That's all. From wood comes the table. So you say, the table is born. Of course, you don't use the word table is born. You say table is made. But that is the meaning you use. A baby is born. But this baby, after some time, baby means it grows up, or maybe not growing up, whatever it is, death occurs. What is the death? What was the baby before it was born? Has it come from nothing? There is a cause. This is the causal, material cause. From material cause, the cause becomes manifest. What is death? The effect going back into its causal state, because even physicists don't believe in death. Matter cannot be destroyed. You understand that concept very well. This is nothing but certain elements coming together and they go there. Gluing is called birth. Ungluing is called death. This is the simple truth. Okay. Nitya means in two ways. When we go into Sushupti, deep sleep state, that is called one type of pralaya. Then when this individual human body, it goes back to its causal state, state of elements, that is called pralaya. So nitya pralaya. Then naimittika pralaya. What is naimittika pralaya? That is the concept discussed here. You know, Joseph told first, 1,000 years, the day of Brahman. 1,000 years, the night of Brahman. Sahasra yuga aharyat brahmanaha. Eighth chapter, did you read eighth chapter?
No.
Did you discuss each chapter? Is this idea is there? So, Brahma's, when the daytime is over, the night time comes, the whole universe comes to an end. That is called Naimittika Pralaya. Again, when the day of Brahma starts, just like our day starts, from Sushupti, we come out of Sushupti. When does our night stop and starts? When does our night starts? From this waking or dream state, because there is some amount of awareness during these states. When we enter into that causal state, then our death starts. Then when does our day starts again? We are, as it were, newly born. New life starts, as it were. Is it not?
Yes.
Brahma's exactly the same on a universal level, for a very long, long stretch of time. When he goes to sleep, that is called Naimittika Pralaya. When he wakes up, that is called Naimittika Srishti. But just as we every day go to sleep and come back, but at the end of so many years, 50 years or 70 years, finally this body cannot be retrieved back. Once we go, we don't come back. Right? Like that Brahma also, it is after 1,000 years or of his days, or 1,000 years of his, you were talking about 1,000 day. 1,000 years is one day, 1,000 years is one night. He may live 1,000 years. He is Ayurdaya. At the end of that Brahma becomes merged in his cause, avyakta. That is called Mahapralaya. That is the third sort of pralaya. How many pralayas we discussed now? Nitya, Naimittika and Mahapralaya. Then there is one pralaya. It is called Atyantika Pralaya. What is that Atyantika? Because once we attain to that pralaya, we never again come back. Because we attain liberation. When we get self-knowledge, that is the end of the samsara. But what is the distinction? The fourth one and the earlier three ones? Because always from those pralayas, again, we come back into the state of bondage. That is why it is said the highest known world to human beings, where the greatest amount of happiness is achieved, is called Brahmaloka, Satyaloka, etc. But that is a dualistic concept. That is why Brahma Bhuvana Lokaha Punaravartino Arjuna. Where did you read? Bhagavad Gita. Who wrote Shakespeare's works? What a wonderful intelligence, you know. We have to tell who wrote Shakespeare's works. Even then there will be some people who say, no, we don't know. So see, four types of pralayas are there. So that is why the Lord is telling. Why is he telling? Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have a question. I thought when the universe gets dissolved in Brahma's night, then all the whole srishti comes to an end, right?
Temporarily.
So when the new srishti starts,
yeah,
then the same bound.
Yes, the same you will come back again. That is what Thakur told. The granny gathers seeds when the season is over, love, kumudo and all those things. And when the next year rains start, again those seeds.
Oh,
our samskaras are the seeds. Yeah. See, what a beautiful concept. So the Lord is, why is he telling in the 8th chapter? We are discussing about the 8th chapter. That is the last question, 7th question of Arjuna. How to attain to liberation? So when a person, first of all, he may go to Swargaloka, heavenly world, or he may go into Sushupti state, or he may become one with Brahman. even then that is not real liberation. He has to come back. Maybe he will enjoy a little longer there. His credit card limit is extended. But a time will come, credit card will be discredited. Yeah.
Account closed.
No. New account starts. Only when you get liberation, but this person is absolutely useless, uneconomical, then the account is closed. Until that time, the new account will be produced. Yeah. So, is it clear? So, why is the Lord saying? He is answering to the specific quest of Arjuna. How can I get liberation? That was his question. Prayana means at the time of, usually we say at the time of death. What did I say? Every new second is a new birth, a new opportunity. And that, this present second indicates what we are going to be in the next second. Unable to realize this, we are thinking magically tomorrow morning I get up, the whole universe will become a Swargaloka for me. Is it going to be? No. I have to create the conditions. What do you mean by creating conditions? You have to understand, the world is not going to change because that is its constitutional nature. Then how can we change the world? You can't. Then what is it that should be changed? Our attitude, our interpretation. And what is the interpretation? The world is of the changing nature. That is our present concept. But if you look behind, then you will see the world is nothing but Brahman. Why do we say so? That it is unchanging. The world is Brahman. The world is not changing world. How do we understand this statement? Let us take the example. Here is wood. Then what happens? A carpenter comes and makes a table or a chair out of this wood. Now what is this table? It is nothing but, we don't say it is wood. Because wood is lying there. What do we say now? Table. So what is the table now? Wood in the form of name and form. So the wood never changes. The table is nothing but wood. 100% it is only wood. If what is that we are calling this world now? World is Brahman
manifesting
as name and form is called world. But because it is which is permanent in this name and form?
Brahman.
It is only name and form cannot remain without Brahman, just as table cannot remain without wood. But wood always can remain without name and form. The moment we become aware that this world is nothing but God or Brahman, but only appearing to us, the important point, appearing to us as name and form. Right? What does that mean? It means the wood doesn't know I am a table. What does the wood know? What does the wood say? Who are you? You ask a table, who are you? Does it say I am a table? No. What does it say? I am wood. Because we are perceiving through our sense organs, the table doesn't exist outside. The table exists within me. Wood exists outside. I have not created the wood, but I am interacting with the wood. And I am adding my concepts. Nama rupa. Nama, if there is no eyes, there would be no rupa. if there are no five organs, then there is no rupa. Rupa means form. Form doesn't mean only that which is experienced by the eyes. That which is experienced through all the five sense organs is called form. Because a blind man can touch the wood and say, this is a table, to distinguish this shape from the other shape. The eyes incidentally have only one quality. What is that quality? Colors. Perception of colors. Nothing else. Because even a blind man can feel the shape, size. Eyes are not necessary. But no other organ can perceive colors excepting. So only color perception belongs to the speciality of the eyes, nothing else. Anyway, the point is form means not merely what is experience, all the five senses, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting and touching. So whenever it is this which distinguishes, this smells like this, the other smells like this, this is hard, this is soft, and this is sweet, this is bitter, this is sound, and this is what is called color. All these, through any one of the sense organs, we distinguish one thing from the other, that is called form. Form means distinction. Distinction means duality, multiplicity. So we have to give a name. This is hard, this is soft. This is jasmine, this is rose. This is sweet, this is bitter. This is white, this is blue. See? So what is that outside? Wood. Who is perceiving as a table? We. What did I say? Wood is outside. Where is the table? Inside. Why do I say? Is it not illogical? Here is the table. I am seeing it. What is it? Ask a woodworm. What does it say? Does it say it is a table? What does it say?
Wood.
No, food. Wood. Woodworm. For woodworm, any wood is not wood, food. See how much we are misinterpreting. You see, it is, who are you? I ask you, who are you?
Atman.
No, as it is. Tirthankar. So, if you are walking in a jungle, a hungry tiger looks at you. Ask the hungry tiger, what is that object you are seeing? What does it say? We are also doing the same thing. See, you look, a nice fish. What do you say? Nice food, nicer food. Ilish much, nicer food. Magur much, nice food. Are we not saying that? Lamb chops. When you look at a lamb walking, what do you perceive? Lamb chops. Finely fried lamb chops. Is the concept clear now? So this, what is this world? We are calling it a world. Where does the world exist? The world doesn't exist outside. The world exists within us. But that doesn't mean there is nothing. There is something. Otherwise you cannot even experience it. What is that? Pure Brahman. So when we can see the world devoid of name and form, that means when can we do that? Only when I can go beyond the body and mind, then only I can see what it is there. But when I go beyond the body mind, actually there is nothing to be seen, because I only exist, nothing else exists. What differentiates it is only name and form. I and you, what is the distinction? Only name and form. And when I go beyond name and form, then you also go beyond name and form. Do you see what I am talking about? When I go beyond name and form, you also go beyond name and form. Because I don't see
don't
you.
See.
What a wonderful thing it is. When you wake, see, we create the whole world of name and forms. We are all creators. Extraordinary creators. Every day we are creating. When we go to dream state, your dream, who is the creator of your dream? Yourself. When you wake up, what happens? Your whole dream world is destroyed. You are the Brahma. This is the truth. Every day we are creating, every day we are destroying. Waking world, who creates? We create. How? Because when we go to dream state, what happens to the waking state? The whole waking world is completely destroyed. It doesn't exist as long as we are in the dream state. The reality of so-called waking state is gone until we come back into. Is it not a truth? So who is the creator of the waking state? We. And who is the destroyer of the waking state? We. Who is the creator of the dream state? We. No, we. You can't even say we. They are only talking like I. Who is the destroyer of the dream world? I. And both waking and dream world completely are destroyed when we enter into state of Sushupti. That is why it is a wonderful state. So, coming back to the point, you know, otherwise you get confused, that we have to remember that the whole existence of the so-called world depends upon one single factor. Whether it is waking world, dream world, or deep sleep world, depends upon one. What is that one? Consciousness. I am conscious of the waking world, so it exists. I am conscious of the dream world, then it exists. I am conscious of the karana sharira, sushupti, deep sleep, then only it exists. So, whatever exists without depending upon me, that is real. Whatever exists depending upon something, that is unreal. What are we talking about? The knower and the known. So, why is the world called mithya? Because it has a dependent existence. What a beautiful logical understanding. I can remain, the knower can remain, the subject can remain without the object, without the known. But the knower never changes. The known is always changing. When you change from waking state to dream state, has the waking state changed? Is it dead? When you wake up, the dream world is dead. It has changed. And every day you are changing. When you go into Sushupti state, all the other two states, in whichever state we are, the other two states don't exist. They are dead. But there is one who never changes. If I am in the waking state, I am there. If I am in the dream state, I am there. If I am in the deep sleep state, I am there. I am there. Right? Right. Until now I brought you to this beautiful idea. One idea, we will close our talk. I promise you. What is that idea? Paramatma, Supreme Self. Atma, the individual self. Jiva, the bound self. How many realities? One reality manifesting as three realities. వ్యావహారిక పారమార్థిక ప్రాతిభాషిక. ఓకే, దట్ ఈస్ మేబీ బిట్ డిఫికల్ట్ కాన్సెప్ట్, విల్ కామన్ సెన్సికల్ విల్ డిస్కస్. అనేబుల్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ దిస్ డిస్టింక్షన్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ అస్ సఫర్. లెట్ అస్ టేక్ పారమార్థిక సత్య, వీ నో వట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మన్. ఇన్ దట్ దేర్ ఈస్ నో బాడీ, నో వరల్డ్, నథింగ్ ఈజ్ దేర్. బట్ సో లాంగ్ యాజ్ వీ ఆర్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్, టూ సెల్ఫ్స్ ఆర్ దేర్. వన్ ఈజ్ ది విట్నెసింగ్ సెల్ఫ్, అనదర్ ఈజ్ ది యాక్టింగ్ సెల్ఫ్. విట్నెసింగ్ సెల్ఫ్ అండ్ యాక్టింగ్ సెల్ఫ్. యు సీ, అండర్స్టాండ్ ది, లెట్ మీ గివ్ ఎన్ ఇలస్ట్రేషన్. వాట్ ఆర్ యూ డూయింగ్? ఐ ఆమ్ లిసనింగ్ టు ది టాక్. దట్ ఈస్ ది పార్టిసిపేటింగ్ సెల్ఫ్. బట్ అట్ ది సేమ్ టైమ్ ఐ నో ఐ ఆమ్ లిసనింగ్, ఐ నో ఐ ఆమ్ నాట్ లిసనింగ్. దేర్ ఈస్ సంథింగ్ విచ్ ఈస్ ఆల్సో అబ్జర్వింగ్ దిస్ యాక్ట్ ఆఫ్ లిసనింగ్ అండ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ వీఆర్ డూయింగ్. సంథింగ్ ఐ నో మై సెల్ఫ్. యూ సీ నౌ టూ. సో వన్ ఈజ్ ది పార్టిసిపేటింగ్ సెల్ఫ్, అనదర్ ఈజ్ ది విట్నెసింగ్ సెల్ఫ్. దిస్ ఈజ్ ది ఫినామినా విదిన్ ఈచ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ అస్. సో ది విట్నెసింగ్ సెల్ఫ్ నవర్ చేంజెస్. ఐ వాజ్ ఎ బేబీ, ఐ ఎమ్ ప్లేయింగ్. వాట్ ఆర్ యూ డూయింగ్ బేబీ? ఐ ఎమ్ ప్లేయింగ్. బట్ దేర్ ఈస్ అనదర్ వన్ విచ్ సేస్ ఐ వాజ్ ఎ బేబీ, ఐ యూస్ టు ప్లే. See, witnessing, remember, I am a young man, I know I am a young man, I am an old man, I know I am a old man. So two, the witnessing and the witnessed. The witnessed is the acting, identified with the body and mind. But the witness self is as though it is not identified with body, mind, is separate and looking constantly at it. You see the point? In waking state, I am the waker, I am the witness of the waker. In dream state, I am the dreamer, I am the witness of the dreamer. In the sushupti state, I am the sleeper, and I am also the witness of the sleeper. How do I know? When I am identified, say for example, I am happy, I am unhappy, that is the witnessed. I know I should not be unhappy, but nevertheless I am unhappy. There is a witnessing, constant going on. We are ourselves witnessing ourselves. That is the speciality of human beings, we say. We don't know about animals. This is called self-consciousness. Consciousness is to be identified with whatever we are doing. Self-consciousness means I am constantly looking at myself. What am I doing? Is it not? All the time we are doing it. Self-judgment we are doing it. That is the phenomena. These are relational selves. Relational because if one disappears, the other also disappears. For example, I am a teacher. Now, you are the students. This is the relationship. So if you, all of you go away, the teacher also disappears. What a wonderful thing. What powerful people you are. The moment you stop listening to me, my teacherhood is gone. You just, whenever you decide, you can make me vanish. How wonderful, what wonderful power you people have got, magic. Yes, yes, Maharaj. Even in that state also you are only nodding to me. Not. So see, Paramatma, then Atma, and then Jivatma. Jivatma means that which is identified with the body and mind. Atma is that which acts as individual witness. Paramatma is universal self, that which is the basis of both Atma and Jivatma. Is that concept clear? At least according to Advaita Vedanta, this is the analysis. Okay, these concepts are clear. 8th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita discusses these important concepts. The important point it makes is that we should constantly practice that remembrance of the reality so that every moment would become a moment of reality. Reality is associated with three factors. What are they? Sat, Chit and Ananda. Chit means constant, in other words, a broken consciousness. Otherwise you will be in samsara. Broken. Samsara means what? Broken consciousness. Ananda. How do we know? This is the test. If we, the more we progress in spiritual life, the more our awareness increases, the more our sat also increases. Sat has three meanings. What are those three meanings? Sat, you know, satsanga we say. What is satsanga? Holy company. That means we become, our goodness, our purity, our holiness increases, right? How does it increase? When our awareness increases, we cannot be unholy. You know, supposing you are aware, I should not tell a lie, I should not do this wrong thing. If you are not aware, you are likely to be doing those negative things. But the moment you are aware, you can, your only conscience will feel the guilt, is it not? You cannot feel guilty at the same time continue doing for a long time. Yes, maybe in the beginning, no, I feel guilty, but nevertheless I will do bad thing. But you can't continue because there is an internal conflict is there. As a result of not doing these things, any goodness must produce ananda. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea. What is the idea? If somebody thinks he is good but not happy, there is something very seriously wrong with that goodness. You see, goodness must always produce happiness. And goodness leads to truthfulness. What is truthfulness? First of all, to cognize truth. And secondly, to be truthful. To be truthful means what? You know, our understanding is so fragmentary. Only we think to speak something, that which we have witnessed, or that which we have done. Have you seen this man kill this person? If you have seen, you tell yes. Or have you done this thing? Yes. I admit I have done this. This is only considered as truthfulness. That is only very fragmentary practice of truthfulness. What is real truthfulness? Be true to yourself. If your body, you are eating, your stomach says that it is enough, then be true to yourself. Yeah. Otherwise, what are you, whom are you kidding? Whom are you kidding? Who will suffer? You will suffer. That's why be true to yourself. How much time you should sleep? The body dictates. Because sometimes, you know, that's what it is. People say, Swamiji, I have got unspiritual tendencies, can't get up in the morning. You are not getting up in the morning, it has nothing to do with unspiritual tendencies. It has something to do with your quilt. If you have too warm a quilt, definitely it is going to create problems. Supposing it is very, very wet and cold quilt. What would be your reaction? The sooner you get up, the better for you. Thakur used to do that, you know. Holy Mother, poor mother, she used to throw water. He thought that is the, you know, this man. So saints are troublesome people. They can't tolerate. So if I am unable to sleep, why should, what right have you got to sleep? Yeah. So be true to yourself, physically, mentally. Find out what is your capacity, what is your limitation. And then behave accordingly. That is called being true. That is one meaning. The other meaning, third meaning, Sat is a name of God. So what does that mean? That you keep the company of God. So if we are to practice Sachidananda, spiritual practice, our Sat must increase, goodness, purity, then Satya Paripalana, and also constant remembrance of God, these three must simultaneously increase. Then what happens? Our ananda, profound sense of fulfillment. Fulfillment is a completely different understanding. Pleasure you understand, happiness you understand, but fulfillment, you know, you have worked very hard, maybe you were keeping awake until 12 o'clock, you completed the task, you have not eaten any rasagulla or anything, but you have a sense of fulfillment, deep peace. That means the mind becomes very calm and quiet, tranquil. That is the sure indication of spiritual practice. Otherwise, goodness has no meaning. Truthfulness also has no meaning. The ananda is the determining factor. Awareness is the determining the factor. The more we are aware, the more, the less the breakage in the chit content, the more we are spiritual. When there is absolutely no breakage, that is the state of liberation. So what is the Lord Krishna advising to Arjuna? That you constantly practice unbroken remembrance of these three, Sat, Chit, and Ananda, and you have nothing to fear, because that is what you are going to become, and that is how you will overcome death. We'll stop here. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachanuramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadguru.
Understanding that that's part of the definition of deep sleep is that you're not witnessing and you're not conscious, whereas you are when you're awake or dreaming.
Correct.
So that's the part I don't get?
Yes. See, one way of trying to understand is this. When you wake up, you know that you are not dreaming. You know that you are not in the waking state. But you are not dead. Therefore, there must be a state which you can't call, you are not calling it as waking. You are not also calling it as a dream, isn't it? So that state must be there. So how do we know? So the Vedanta gives classical answer. Sukham aham asvapsam nakinchit avedisham. I slept very happily. I did not know anything. Means I was not aware of. I did not know anything doesn't mean I did not know anything. It means I was not aware of the waking state. I was not aware of the dream state. So that memory, you know, memory cannot come without experience. So there is an experience. Then our problem is, if there is an experience, why can't I talk about it? Or why can't I be aware of it? Why don't I remember? I'm trying to put it in simple language. we are aware of it. We are not unaware of it. Because if we are unaware, experience is not possible if we are not unaware of anything. See the point? So we are aware of that state. But the very nature of that state is, you cannot tell anything about it. See how beautiful it is. We are witnessing that. That is why it is said, waking, dream, dreamless state, all these states are changing. And how can we know they are changing? Because to say something is changing, we cannot be that changing phenomena. We must be outside the changing phenomena. There must be something unchanging which is witnessing the changing phenomena. So the simplest way of understanding it is that if I think I am not in the waking state, because if I am in the waking state, I am telling you, now I am in the waking state. And if I am in the dream state, then I am experiencing exactly the same thing. So if I am not in the waking state, if I am not in room A, and if I am not in room B, and still I am there, then I must be in the room C. There is no other option. But the nature of that room is that I can't see anything. I can't describe anything. So you see, the meaning word, I do not know anything, it has two meanings. If I ask you, do you know Swami Somananda? Do you know Swami Somananda? That means you have never heard about him. You have never, of course, seen him. You have no correspondence with him. That is means you are totally ignorant about it. But take the other example. Suppose you enter into a totally dark room. What would you say if you are asked later on, so what were you seeing in that dark room? What do you say?
Nothing.
So, when you say, I don't see anything, is it an experience or is it a non-experience?
Experience.
You are witnessing to the nothingness. Yeah. I see nothing is a very positive experience. Yeah. We have to think about these things. Wonderful. But from a practical level, what the great souls say, they can be consciously aware of all the three states. But we have to start practicing that state of witnessing, even in small, small matters. When we succeed in witnessing the waking state, then we can also, it looks paradoxical, at where you cannot have dreams unless you are totally forgetful. If you are not forgetful, you can't have dreams. But is it possible to be a witness and at the same time dreaming? Yes. Swami Turiyananda said yes. A realized soul, he just as in the waking state, it is possible to be a witness. So in the dream state also, because it is a state, because it is not me, anything that is not me, we can witness. So all the three states, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti, are amenable to witnessing if only we develop. That is called spiritual practice.
What happens, like sometimes you are in dream state, you are dreaming.
Yeah.
But you wake up.
Yeah.
And you can see that dream. You remember the dream.
Yes, you do remember the dream. Don't you?
Yeah.
So what is your question then?
Not, what I'm saying is, you're saying you don't remember the dream, you are witness to it, but you do not remember.
Yes. Why only dream? Even in waking state, how many things do you remember? Do you remember what you have eaten 3 days back? Come on, tell me. Yeah, you see, it is God's grace, we don't remember. If we remember everything, we will go mad. Yeah, our mind will become just a viral pool of activity. So, not remembering is not equivalent to not having. Fortunately, we forget. Only some dreams we do remember, definitely. Yeah. But if somebody is witnessing, he will remember everything. The more we witness, the more we remember. Our trouble is, we remember what we shouldn't and forget what we should. Yeah, you know, this is a wonderful suggestion. How to be happy? Everybody is asking that question. How to be happy? Is it not that we were happy so many times in our life? So why do we remember only unhappy things? So generally a person is either more happy or less happy. One is called optimistic person, another is called pessimistic person. One is morose person, another is cheerful person. What is the difference? The cheerful person remembers more and more and more cheerful experiences, try to forget the other side. A morose person focuses all his attention, whole day he is thinking. This is an interesting example, you know. Whole day is everything passed off very well. Well, for 1 minute, one person had uttered a harsh word. So, 8 hours or so, and excepting for 1 minute, life went on very nicely. We forget the whole lot. Only remember what that person told, the whole day, miserable day, and this. How much time that person, you interacted with that person? Only for 1 minute. Whereas the cheerful persons, they have developed that habit. They only look, oh, today it went off well, excepting for a small, that is nothing. So they always look at things in a positive way. Is it not wonderful? That's what every spiritual person should practice by adopting certain what is called technique. What is the technique? One technique is that if something bad happened, it is my karma. So that is not a good opportunity to brood over. It is enough to accept, yes, I must have done something, so I am reaping, so I should not repeat the same thing which will produce the same effect. The second is God's will. Everything happens by God's will. If God is willing, it must be good. Yeah. So look upon everything in a most positive light. Is that not wonderful?
Swamiji, I have a couple of questions. I think you have touched a little bit on each of those that I'm going to be asking. What is the process whereby one is able to eliminate the negative forces or the negative thoughts? I know you just touched some of that. And the second part is, how does one attain that ananda state where the mind is very calm, because mind is always churning?
It is.
What should we practice?
Yes, yes. Your two questions are only one question actually. How could I eliminate negative thoughts and develop positive thoughts? One question.
Mm-hmm.
You have answered already. Eliminate the negative thoughts and dwell upon the positive thoughts. That is called sadhana. So they say, you know, this I am trying to explain in a bit with a bit of psychological explanation. But our scriptures tell, remember God. You know, remember God. How much time did they say, prescribe that for 5 minutes only you remember God? How much time should we remember?
I think I think that's the process that one should be constantly engaged in.
Exactly. So, what does it mean to remember God? I touched it. Sat, think of good, think of purity, think of holiness, think constantly, be aware what is happening, that means you will become a witness to the phenomena. And dwell on ananda, thoughts of ananda. In our lives, really speaking, how much is filled with unhappy events? Go back to your life, say, go on saying how many days, how many hours, how many years is completely filled up with unhappy things, and how much time is filled up with happy things. You will notice the unhappy things that happen is very little compared to good things that happen. Otherwise, we could not have survived. But unfortunately, people go on, this call is coming.
It's very
See? Wonderful. The other day, in Flint we had, you know, one lady was entering. He said, Posto esheche. Because every year, she brings.
She brings posto.
Yeah, posto esheche. All right, let's go.